Before we get to the episode, I've got something free for you. I'd love to give you a pack of Canva Instagram story templates and Pinterest templates that go with your unique brand's vibes. Whether you're more bright and colorful or more sophisticated and polished, I've got you covered. Take my website personality quiz at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz and you'll be matched with a few gorgeous DIYable website templates that would be perfect for your ideal client's vibes. You'll also get 10% off your template purchase from my shop, a free month subscription to Show It, a full brand personality profile to tell you what design your client is looking for, and of course, those awesome Canva templates. You can get it all now for free at elizabethmccraby.com/quiz. Now, here's the episode. Hi, friends. Welcome back to the Breakthrough Brand Podcast. I am thrilled for today's episode because it's actually an interview I did in 2023 on a friend's podcast. Yep, a new thing. I don't think I've done this before, of where I'm sharing an interview where I am the guest with you, but this originally aired on Mara Kusarik's podcast, Create a Better Course. And I really did just love it so much that I was like, you know what, Mara, can I play this for you guys? And she's also a listener of the Breakthrough Brand Podcast as well. You may recognize Mara because she was also a guest on this podcast a while ago talking about online course strategy. So you got to hear me interview her. Now you're going to get to hear her interviewing me, and I'll link to that episode in the show notes if you haven't listened to that one, so you can go back to it. But Mara is a student of both of my courses, Booked Out Designer and Podcast Success Blueprint, which actually was not around yet when we recorded this episode. So that's why you don't hear it mentioned. But she has a student perspective on these questions. And in addition to that, she's a major expert, like seriously, such an expert on all things online courses. So it's a really cool conversation. She's also a template customer and a listener of this podcast. So I think you guys are just going to adore her. And again, she has really good questions, because she's coming from that student perspective as she looks at like how I do course creation. And she also is an online course expert herself. So what we talk about in this interview, we talk about the real and raw behind the scenes. Again, she asks really good questions of my course, Booked Out Designer, which has brought in multiple six figures into my business and has enrolled over 200 students at this point, all without running a single ad. I'm talking no Facebook ads, no Instagram, TikTok ads, nothing, which is so crazy. It's not because I'm anti-ad. I just haven't run ads onto it. But yeah, a lot of students, all just organically. We also talk about how to launch an online course. We talk about how to get the course off your to-do list and into the world, especially when it's a larger course that might feel like there's a lot to do, how to beta launch your course. And we talk about my process for doing that with Booked Out Designer. And then we also talk about live launches versus the evergreen course structure and deciding which one's right for you, how I've made decisions in my business around that, and all that good stuff. So Mara said in her intro for this that you're not going to hear because I'm cutting it for this intro, but she originally said that this is one you'll want a notebook for note taking, because there are so many big takeaways. And I really agree. It's a fun conversation and I absolutely hope you enjoy it. And if you love this episode, I want to recommend first that you go back and listen to me interviewing Mara a few episodes back on this podcast, and then also check out her podcast, Create a Better Course, which I will link to in the show notes. If you are a fellow course creator, you are going to love her podcast because it has a lot of good stuff around course creation. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Mara interviewing me. Hey guys, I'm Elizabeth McCravey, an online educator for entrepreneurs, website designer, wife, boy mom, and your host for the Breakthrough Brand Podcast, the show that's all about pulling back the curtain on how to actually build a successful business. I don't skim the surface around here. If you want to dive deep into the nitty-gritty details of what it takes to run a sustainable business that fits your unique lifestyle while standing out in a crowd, then you are in the right place. I created a multiple six-figure-a-year business in my early 20s, and now in my 30s, I'm still running that successful multiple six-figure-a-year business on just part-time hours now as a working mom. I'm here to share everything I've learned and everything I'm still learning, because I believe that the keys to building a thriving business should never be a secret. Here you'll find episodes that are actionable, direct, and fun, like friends chatting business over coffee, and a fresh, honest take on the reality of being an entrepreneur. If you're ready to master online marketing, website design, personal branding, mindset, time management as a busy parent, scalable and passive income, and business strategy, then this is the podcast for you. It's time to build your breakthrough brand. Let's do this.
Laura, I'm so excited you are starting this podcast. When you emailed me and said this was like your next thing, I was like, yes, she needs to start this because you have so much expertise to offer. So yeah, I'm excited to be here. My name is Elizabeth McCravey and I'm a show it website designer. And my main thing is website templates. So I create and sell show it website templates. And I have a whole bunch of those that are for female business owners. And then I also have a course that we're talking about today, Booked Out Designer, that helps you create an in-demand business as a designer. I'm a fellow podcast host over at the Breakthrough Brand Podcast, and I'm also a wife and a mom to a little toddler, and I live in Nashville, Tennessee.
And just so everyone knows, since Elizabeth's main thing is show it website templates, I have purchased her templates twice, actually.
Love it.
I think the first one was in 2018. It was like when you had very first launched your shop, and I had just left my full-time job, and I was like, I need a real website. I need to be professional. And I got multiple people that booked me and were like, your website is amazing. And then I think it was almost 4 years later, just last year, I got a new template, completely overhauled everything, and completely made over my website because it was very out of date at that point.
Yeah, your website, if we were just talking about this, but like on my showcase of like template customers, you were the first one because I'm like, I love this website so much. I'm putting it first. So yeah, it looks like your site looks awesome.
Well, and it was, just to give you a little plug, it was so easy to create because I've been needing to update my website for a long time, and I have a lot of website knowledge, which is actually a bad thing, I think, because when the world's the limit, you don't know what to do with your website. And finally, I was like, I need some limits. I need someone to just have a pre-made thing, and then I can go customize it all. So that was super fun of, like, changing the colors. And I get compliments on my website, and people ask who the designer is. Like, they have no idea it was a template, which is so funny, because at the bottom, it literally says which template I used.
Yeah, and it does look very custom and so well done.
Yeah. But today I'm super excited because when I was pitching and kind of bothering Elizabeth about being on this podcast, I was like, can we talk about your course? And can I interview about your course? And she said, yes, which is amazing. So will you kind of lay the foundation and talk about what your course is, who it's for, and then we'll dive into all the really fun stuff around like creation to idea to launching it.
Yes, I never get to talk to course creators about like the making of a course. So it's fun like doing this direction with it. Yeah, so my course is Booked Out Designer is the name of it. And my like little statement, I guess you could say, for like what I normally say about it is that it's a course and coaching program for designers on how to build an in-demand business as a brand and website designer. So that's kind of like what I normally say about it. And it is for brand and website designers. We also have some people who do like stationery or calligraphy and things like that in it. And some people who like were like, hey, I'm not a designer and I understand that's who you are marketing this to, but I'm a copywriter, photographer, and I think I can like transfer what you're teaching to that industry who have taken it as well. And it's a pretty big, robust course, which is something probably not recommended for your first course, but this was like my first for real course. I have a course that comes with my website templates called the Show It Blueprint course. So I had in that also is pretty robust, but that's more tutorial based, right? So that's like completely different in what that's me like showing you Show It and how to like, you know, add your email form or customize the contact form, whatever it is. So for my first like for real course though, I did go pretty robust with Booked Out Designer, and it is about 90 lessons divided into, I'm blanking out on it. I think it's 9 modules, and then there's the module that's coaching call replays because there is group coaching involved, and there's a Facebook community as well.
And when you say robust, in-depth course, like you're not kidding, because I am inside. I've been a student for a couple of years, which I am not a website designer, and put off joining for a while because I was like, I'm not allowed to join. I'm not a website designer, but you teach a lot of systems, processes, stuff that my business needed. And I was like, I'm sure I can like figure out how to transfer this to my business and completely. It was all applicable to having another business. So I get why we have copywriters in there and like all sorts of different people, which is really cool.
And that's something like for course creators listening to think about, like when I decided, which I won't get into, of like, okay, I want to do this course. At one point I was like, is this going to be a course for service providers in general? And I was so torn on to make it just for designers or to make it for anyone who does any type of work with clients. And I kind of knew there's potentially like more reach and more to be made out of marketing to more people. For me though, I ultimately am glad that I niched the content down to just designers. And the reason is, I'm sure people listening can relate to this, I feel like I got to teach better because I got more specific. Whereas if I were to be like, okay, this is for copywriters, photographers, like every single person, when I'm wanting to teach about client experience, it's like I'm having to like completely back up so much and take out a lot of the meat that makes it special for designers. So that's just like, yeah, my two cents on that, but I think it was the right decision. And sometimes courses that are like so overgeneralized that you're talking to like anyone miss a lot of the like deep stuff that's really going to help your students like get results.
And if you have a really specific niche course, I find it still attracts people in other niches. And those will be the people that will email and say, hey, I don't know if this is right for me. Where if you're super general, I don't think those people email in at all. But if it's a super specific niche and they can say, hey, I know this is for website designers, but do you think this would work for a copywriter? It's a lot easier to like talk to those people and market to those people, and those people still find you. I know a lot of people get really scared around niching, so I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's something I see with creating courses where people get stuck because they don't want to be too specific, and it feels like to be a good teacher, you should teach everything you ever could think of, and it should apply to everyone, and I don't think that's actually true.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and it is hard, and it's, yeah, the riches are in the niches. That whole statement can totally be real when it comes to courses.
Will you kind of rewind back to the beginning of when you first started thinking about your course, first started to have like the inkling of this is something I want to do?
Yeah. So I wanted to do this course from many years ago. I mean, going back to probably like 2019 when I started my podcast, I had the idea for it. I knew though, when I first started having the idea for it, I knew it wasn't the right time because I didn't have the skill set yet from like working with clients to do it. But I like had an itch for it because I really like teaching. I feel like I'm like an educator at heart. My mom was a school teacher. My dad was an entrepreneur. Like I kind of like have molded both those things in a sense when I look at what I've done in my business. But I had the idea a long time ago because I was like, I want to make the course that I feel like I needed when I started my business. And yes, there are like so many courses out there in branding and website design business. It's not like the only one, which is also okay. You can make a course in something where there's already other people's courses. But yeah, I had the idea and then you know, sat on it for an appropriate amount of time as I was like learning and growing and like, you know, knowing like, okay, that's something for someday, but like I don't need to do it now for lots of reasons. But then I started to have the idea again and like even announced that like, hey, I'm going to like make this course for designers. And then it took me like from that point over a year to actually do anything with it. So I like started building a wait list and then like just stopped on it because I think I was frozen at the idea of how big of a course it felt like. I was feeling imposter syndrome and I was very stuck on the idea that I do not want to beta launch this. And even though I knew about beta launching, I understood the logic behind doing that, but I had decided that's not for me. That's not what I'm doing. I'm going to make it, then sell it. And I never got around to making it is like what happened because life's busy and you've got clients. I have a website template shop and there I had a podcast. It's like, when am I supposed to make time for this course? So I sat on it a really long time. I even like some of the modules when I went to like actually start like for real working on it, I'm looking at like this outline in Google Drive and the date is like that I outlined it like early 2019. And it's like I'd started on it and then just sat on it a long time.
Which I'm really glad you're kind of normalizing that it sometimes takes a long time, especially if you're already running a business. Like there's not just this magic free time where you can record and film all of these things. But I do think it's really helpful to have that time, like you said, to sort of filter your ideas and like type out, maybe I want to add this, and then you go back and read it and realize, nope, maybe people don't need that. So how did you finally move from like the idea processing phase to actually creating the course?
Yeah, I sat on it a long time and said, I did the wait list and like kind of marketed it, sat on it for like a year and had people being like, hey, are you actually doing that? I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm going to get around to it. The thing that ultimately caused me to like actually make it happen was that I got friendly with the idea of beta launching. And for people listening, if you don't know what that is, the simple terminology would be that you're selling it before it's made, which even to me when I hear that, it felt so sleazy to me. I'm like, I don't want to sell something I haven't made yet. Like, that's not ethical. That's not who I am. I want people to have so much high value. And so I had all these like mental ideas that like by doing that, I was getting the best deal and they're getting like the short end of the stick as a student. That's like where my head was. And then I had a few conversations that helped me realize, okay, like I'm seeing this the wrong way. And one thing too, in addition to that, so I was feeling like I was giving the students the bad deal, but I also felt like I don't need the funds from beta launching to make this because I have steady cash flow from my template business. And I also felt like a common thing people say with beta launching is like, do a beta launch because if no one wants to buy it from you, then you're not out the time it took you to make this course. You can just say, okay, that was a great idea. That didn't really work. And I'm going to do it another time. No one wants to buy it from me. And then you're not out time. You're not out money. It's like, great. And I knew for me, because I really knew this audience and I knew people wanted this from me, I did not feel as though it wasn't going to work. Like I felt like there are people here who want to buy this. And so that was another reason I was like, okay, well, I don't need that for beta launch. I don't need the cash flow. I don't need the confirmation that people are ready for this. So I was like, that's not for me. But then I'm looking at myself being like, what I do need is the motivation and the setting aside time. And like, honestly, the cheerleaders in a sense and the people like affirming like, okay, tell me this is what I want. This is helping me in this way. So ultimately, I mean, I'm pretty like quick mover on something. So like when I decided I'm going to beta launch this, I did it in like a few weeks. Like I went from like waiting a year to like, okay, a few weeks later, I'm have the sales page ready. I even ended up, weirdly enough, with how it was taking me so long to like take action on the course, the beta students actually got module one and module zero, which is two videos, one like overviewing kind of like getting started and how to take the course. And then one that was like more of a mindset, getting you ready to go video, but they got both of those videos from the beta launch. So that was something too. It's like, okay, it took me this long, but then I was able to record, do slides, all of it for about eight videos for those first two sections. And so they got that. But yeah, I waited on it a long time and then I felt ready to go and it moved really quick. I made the logo quickly. I made the sales page quickly. I made a video that went on the original sales page of me just kind of like casually talking about it. And I was like ready to go. And I had already been doing the wait list. I also had a customer survey, which is something I highly recommend. So I had a lot of stuff kind of on the back end beforehand.
Yeah, putting out feelers out there. And just so everyone's clear, when you're talking about beta launching, people knew the course wasn't fully created when they bought. And that, like, you were able to market it as we're going to create this course together, which is really cool and something I think can work really well with beta launching. I've seen it go both ways where a beta launch kind of flops and there's a lot of things you just talked about that help and that's probably why that didn't happen to you, but giving people the chance to be like, hey, I'm going to make this and you get real-time feedback, which I remember in your marketing, which I think you launched your course in 2021. That sounds right to me at least. And that's you talked a lot about like, this is what the course is going to include, but feedback will be used and then students can help build out those lessons.
That's good clarification. And I actually was just the other day looking at the original sales page from that beta launch. I was talking to someone else about their course that they are sitting on too long. And I was like, girl, you've got to launch it and just do it this way. But yeah, so what I was saying, I did put on there what the modules were going to be. I was communicating that there's nothing there yet. That was something I did intentionally because I wanted people to be pleasantly surprised there was one module, but also like very clear, because I feel like that even felt confusing to me, like there's one module, but not the whole course. I'm like, what if people don't understand the module terminology? I'm like, I don't want to mess with that. So I just said, there's nothing included yet. I had a specific date on the sales page that I said the full course will be delivered by this date. And my original plan was to make it all and then deliver it all on that date, which was a few months later. But what I ultimately did was like released modules, like as frequent, like with not set frequency, just when I had them ready. And I would post in our Facebook community saying, hey, this module's here. Like, here's what you're going to get. Go take it. And then I was saying like, hey, you're going to co-create this with me. And one bonus I did that was, I think, really important as part of the beta launch is that they got group coaching calls with me, but it felt really intimate because it wasn't that many people and it was very like highly attended as well, like those calls were. And at the time I wasn't planning to include group coaching in Book.Designer. So that actually was like, okay, this is only something I'm doing for the beta launch, but then it ended up being like, I really like this, so I'm going to keep it. And then they got the course at about half the price of what it is now. So also a steep, discount, really like solid access to me, and a Facebook group with access to each other. And I felt like everyone felt like it was a good deal. Like, I felt like it was a good deal for me and for them, which is what you want.
Yeah, and giving beta launchers like a really unique experience, I think, is really important. And then those people remember and they like become your people who are your testimonials. And then they're like in there coaching other students all the time and helping you out because you had their back from the beginning, which is really cool when that happens and someone does that really well. Is there anything that you would do differently now looking back if you were creating from scratch and beta launching?
I wish I would have moved sooner. Like, even though I understand why I took the time I did. So that's one thing. Another thing, I limited the spots to 30 spots. I ultimately had 40 people join, which I'm not mad about. That's cool, right? But that the marketing was that there was 30 spots. I did not turn off like the whole situation quickly enough because it actually sold out within like an hour and a half, which was crazy. And I had emails written for 5 days worth of like this launch period that are still just drafts in ConvertKit for me, which is funny because I had them like literally all the way loaded into ConvertKit. It sold out really quickly. But the thing I would say was a mistake in that like was just me not realizing honestly the demand that it was going to have, because I did think I would fill all 30 spots, but I thought it would take all week. So I was anticipating, okay, this Monday through Friday I'm still going to be selling and there will be some people joining. So with that in mind of me thinking there's not that much urgency, I sent the email launching it, which that's something too to note. I marketed as this like, this is only going to be available to people who are on the waitlist. I'm not going to post the link on Instagram. You have to be on the waitlist to get the link. So I sent out that email being like, hey, it's open now. Come join at like 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. And then people who are international or even just like on Pacific time, they missed it. So that's also part of how I ended up with 40 people, is because there were a few people who, I mean, gosh, it's like 11 a.m. my time, so like not even late in the day. And they're like, hey, I just woke up and it's already closed. Like, what, can I still get in? And so I kind of felt like, well, I want to stay true to the number, but I also like made a mistake there in sending it so early. And I just got really excited and had everything ready. So I would have done that more of like maybe saying this is the time and picking a time later on Central so that it works better for like other time zones.
That's a really good point, because we tend to think like an Eastern or Central time a lot in the United States, and people are all over the world and they do get grumpy if they're asleep and like something they were expecting to go for sale, they can't have access to. But that's amazing that in an hour and a half, like, you had completely sold out everything. And I love that you have email drafts that never got sent out, because so many people spend time worrying that no one's going to buy and they don't ever think about that the opposite could happen too, especially if you're building buzz and like building a wait list. Do you have anything that you felt like worked really well where people, like when you sent out that email, it made people be like, I'm going to click and buy this right now. I don't need to think about it any longer.
I don't even know, because like That was, I think, so here, actually, I do know. I was marketing this for so long beforehand in really like chill ways, honestly, like not like heavily marketing that much, but like I'd been talking about this so long that people just knew. And like, for example, like I wrote the sales page, right? I even worked with a copywriter to like help me write the sales page. No one read it. Like there were 10 people who had bought within 3 minutes. And I'm like, y'all, and I still have a Voxer screenshot from back when I used Voxer with my team where like, I was like, y'all, there's already 10 people. It's only been 3 minutes. It's like people were not reading it. No one watched my video. I did a privately uploaded YouTube video. It was like me talking for like 10 minutes about the course. No one watched it. Like it was just like people were ready to go without reading the sales page. And like, how do you get to that point? I would say it is like the marketing leading up to it. And too many people get excited about something like an online course because they're looking for like passive revenue or like scaling. They're ready to get out of services, whatever the thought is. Many, many different reasons people end up in courses. But like a lot of times people, when you're going into it with that mentality, you think like, I'm just going to throw this thing up and people are going to buy. And that's not how it works typically. And even though it might sound like that's how it worked for me, it's not. Like I had been marketing this for so long and building buzz around it. And really, I think a thing that worked well too was like I focused on building my email list through the pre-marketing that lasted way too long again because I started talking about it like over a year before I did anything with it. But I, being someone who prior to Booked Out Designer was not marketing to designers at all. I actually would be like, I'm marketing to the opposite of designers. I want someone who is not a designer and therefore needs a website template. So I used all that pre-launch time with the wait list to really segment my email list some because I knew people signing up for the wait list are designers. And then that could help me too for later launches to be able to like have know who's in what boat in that regard. And another thing I'd recommend that I think worked well leading up to it is on that waitlist page, again, I had a really long time, I had the option to just put your first name, put your email address, you know, you're on my waitlist that way. And I had another option to fill out a form that is providing me with information about what you're looking for in a course. And I want to say I had over 150 people fill out that form. So like it's a pretty significant amount of designers. And my waitlist was not huge. It was like 300 people. So like half of them were people who did that form. And then I think it was 300 total that I had sent that launch email to. But the form was so helpful because it was giving me data on like, okay, what matters, what doesn't, what questions do people have, what language are they using? That form was honestly what helped me name the course because a lot of the language people are using is that they want to be booked out. They want clients consistently, but like literally people were saying the word booked out to me in the form. And I'm like, oh, that has like the name Booked Out Designer. So it's like, that's going to help you so much more than just a put your first name, put your email address, like asking people what they want. People like to fill out surveys, like being asked, what's your struggle? What do you want to learn? Which of these topics is like most important to you? Like people like giving that information, especially if they are invested in learning from you as a course creator.
And it also really shows that you care about your students learning what you say they're going to learn. I think all of us have had experiences where we got kind of burned by a course where we were promised something and then like it wasn't fully what we thought. So when people can actively see you like incorporating feedback, you're asking questions, like that is so powerful and really sets you up to be an incredible teacher.
I hope you're enjoying this flipped type of episode with Mara interviewing me, and I hope you have so many big takeaways. Remember how I said in the intro that I've had over 200 students in Booked Out Designer and have generated multiple six figures in revenue, all without ads, and also with only ever doing one webinar for the course so far. It's a course that's on Evergreen and people are constantly enrolling without me doing tons and tons of promoting. So how do I do that? Well, there's a lot to it, honestly, but one big way is actually through this podcast that you are listening to right now. Yep, I use my podcast to drive traffic to my paid offers, and I would love to teach you how to use your podcast or start a podcast to do the same. In my course, Podcast Success Blueprint, I teach how to make money from podcasting and so many other things. It's a super extensive and advanced course, 77 lessons to be exact, covering everything from how to get started with things like naming your podcast, doing your artwork, deciding on the direction of your show, all the way to things like monetizing it, hiring team members, staying organized, and creating strong systems so that your show makes sense for your business and does not take over your life. If you're interested, check it out at elizabethmccravey.com/PSB, short for Podcast Success Blueprint. Mara is actually a student of the course, which is really fun. So anyway, hope you'll go check it out, elizabethmccravey.com/PSB. Now back to the episode.
Yeah, I agree. And it is, and that is like a scary thing, right? Like I want everyone to have wins from the course and like want it to be the best thing on the planet is like how I felt making it. Like it's, I did not take lightly the idea of taking people's money for it. And I wanted it to feel like really, really like way more high value than what they're paying. And that's really stressful though. And so sometimes like as a course creator, I think we have to balance between that of like wanting everyone to win, making the best product you can make, but also knowing you're not responsible for your students' success. And so like you have to do what you can, then let go at some point. And so I feel like I've learned like slowly how to do that well. But it is like with Book.Designer, the founding members, the way I phrase it, but they like took the course and had huge wins. So it's like that was also something cool about like the intimacy of that beta group. It's like everyone took it. And I feel like Book.Designer has a really high completion rate, even though it's a big course, because of the teaching style and that it is pretty value packed and organized well. But there's still going to be people that buy your course and they never take it. You never hear from them. And that's just like the nature of it.
And it's so true. I tell people this all the time, because sometimes it's intimidating to look at your stats of who's finishing your course. And sometimes people complain to you, not Elizabeth personally, I don't know, but they'll complain and say, this isn't helping me. And you go and look at what lessons they've done. And it's none of them, or it's one of them. And so it can be really frustrating. So I love that you're highlighting, you can do so much, you can give them all the support systems, but there's also this element of they have to be responsible too. And like, you'll be there to support them, but you can't force people to go through something.
Yeah, totally.
Will you talk a little bit? So you did the founding members launch, and is that when you've kind of finished creating the rest of the content? So by the end of that beta launch, after people went through it, the course was essentially created, ready to go. And then what did you do from there to like launch it and continue promoting it?
The beta launch was in February of 2021, very beginning of the month. I actually announced that I was pregnant like the week after. So I found out I was pregnant like a month before doing the beta launch, which was interesting. So I actually made the course while pregnant, which is kind of like a fun, special thing. I look back on, this isn't what you asked, but I think of like the time I created the course as like when I've been the most creative in my life ever. Like I literally loved the experience of making that course. And I think it's so weird that I was pregnant during it, like creating a baby and a course. I don't know, it's just weird. A weird thing I think about sometimes. But yeah, so I made that in February. And then I delivered it to everyone by the end of May. Like, so it was completely delivered. So February, March, April, May. So it took me about 4 months. And remembering that I had done one module prior. So that was done like in January of that year. And then I opened it again, I want to say in August of that same year. So that was like the first opening at a higher price point. I had some testimonials now on the sales page, which obviously I didn't before, that were now saying, like, here's what people say about it. Also, the module order ended up being different than what I'd put on the original sales page, like doing adjustments to that. And then after that, I had a baby like a few months later and I kept it closed. Then I opened it again the next year, I think in February as well. And then after that, I kept it closed a few months and then changed it to Evergreen. So basically I've done 3 launches with it total, including the beta launch, and then moved to Evergreen. And now I have a different method I do that I think works really well, but to like still promote it while keeping a course on Evergreen.
Was there anything specific that made you switch to Evergreen? Because that's always a big question for course creators of live launching versus Evergreen. And people have so many thoughts and opinions about it.
Yeah, gosh, I mean, yes. Yeah, so I think most people are in favor of live launching versus evergreen because the idea would be that you're going to make more money and do more when you're doing like a really hard promotion versus just keeping it open all the time. I feel like I was partial to evergreen because that's what I'm used to. Like I have a digital product shop. Like I'm evergreen all the time. Like I'm never going to like be like, you can't buy templates until it's, you know, this sale week. It's like, I'm used to that. And a lot of course creators aren't, because if you're not doing digital products in that like e-commerce vibes, it's just a completely different world. The thing that ultimately made me want to do evergreen, though, is actually during my maternity leave. So that was basically like September through February. I had it closed and I was letting people in still. So if someone emailed me and was like, hey, I really want to join Book.Designer, but I see it's closed, I would email them back and give them a link to join, like that was not available through my website. And I think that's like what you should do. You don't want to tell someone they can't have your course when they're going to go find someone else's. So I think that was a smart strategy there. But ultimately, that was happening a lot when it was closed. I didn't love that. And it made me wonder how many more people are just not emailing me who actually do want to buy this. And the truth is, like, if someone wants to learn something right then, they're going to go to someone else. Because again, we're not unicorns out there. Our course's topic is covered by other people too. So I didn't love that. I wanted people to be able to learn from me when they wanted to. But ultimately, a mistake I see a lot of people make is when you go evergreen, you don't sell anymore. And that means you don't make any sales anymore. Whereas with live launch models, you're like putting so much energy and effort into it. You're obviously hopefully going to make sales that way. So what I've done is it is evergreen, but it's also like molding live launching into it. So since taking it evergreen, which again was only last year, so not that long ago. This is like still a new course, but I've done two times a promotional period that I've called Booked Out Week. So you could give it a cool name, you know, do something like that. And this, I think I did on sale both times, maybe only this most recent time, I can't remember. But basically what I've done during that time is done some cool bonuses, done a slight discount, and basically, from my perspective, I'm treating it like a launch. So it's like in my head, when I think about how am I going to market this, it's as if it's been closed. Only I'm obviously not lying to people. I'm saying like, hey, it's just right now, this is the reasons to buy. It's always open. And so I have like bonuses, a discount. My podcast content becomes more geared about it. Emails are going out about it, all that kind of stuff. And I think it's worked really well. Like I like that balance of like, it's always for sale and it does make sales consistently every month, not like a ton, but like there are sales coming in. And then when I do one of these promos, it's like, hey, if you've been like thinking about buying, now I'm going to give you all these reasons to through these bonuses. You're hearing people talk about it. There's a discount and I'm talking about more. So I think you need to do sales and launches with evergreen, which if you look at anyone doing e-commerce, like who has evergreen products, they're doing sales. Like they're doing Black Friday. They're making up holidays to do sales, you know, like you got to do that to like encourage people to buy who are sitting on the fence.
I think that's such a smart strategy. And I never thought about how it is like e-commerce, because e-commerce and online course are like two entirely different worlds. And I feel like you're one of the people that is in both of them. So we can talk about like this weird online course world. Because what happens a lot is people get burnout with live launching. It can be stressful depending on how you do it. And then they do evergreen and they kind of stop ever talking about their course or like making it fun, which you, I think for both times you've done Booked Out Week, you had some like really specific bonuses that were cool. Like either new lessons, or I think one of them was like a template someone could literally go and put into their ClickUp account, which I was already a student, but anything like that I'm a sucker for. Like if you tell me in minutes I can fix a major like organization problem I have in my life, like that is always so tempting. So it really keeps it fresh instead of having to be like, hey, have you heard about my course yet? I know I talk about it all the time. Like keep adding to it.
I think too, when you have it on evergreen, if you don't, when you try to go to promote it, if you don't have like a reason for people to buy, you're going to struggle with like how to talk about it. Like what you were just saying, you're like, go buy my course. It's there. It's like, you don't know what to say. So that is where like the bonuses come into play. Or like you're talking about the ClickUp template. I added that in right before the Booked Out Week. So it was like, I was able to talk about this new thing that got added to the course. And then I also had some bonuses as well. And then you also don't want to overdo it on bonuses. So that particular launch, or I call it a launch even, it wasn't a launch, whatever, sale, however you want to phrase it, did worse than my most recent one, but had way more bonuses. So it's like, I think you can also overdo it on bonuses and then you confuse people. There's too many things to look at and it just kind of is overwhelming. You're struggling to talk about too much. So I think it's a balance of like doing something that really incentivizes people and then also like just giving yourself an easier way to talk about it.
Yeah. Cause it is hard sometimes to keep talking about a course, especially when you're a couple years in, you feel like everyone knows about it. Do you have any ways that you use to try and keep Booked Out Designer like top of mind? Cause people are always finding you and they don't know that you have a course. So do you have any like strategies or methods you use to kind of weave in Booked Out Designer with your website templates and making sure you're marketing everything?
Yeah, it's so hard to like that. I would say the hardest thing about my business is that I have two completely opposite audiences and it can be really hard talking to both people and making sure too that like if I'm talking to designers on my podcast that I don't lose the people who aren't designers. They're going to keep subscribing and come back later and things like that. That can feel, you know, a bit stressful at times.
Yeah, and because you have multiple income streams where those audiences are really important because the website template people probably aren't taking Booked Out Designer, but they're a huge part of your business, so you don't want them to like be like, why is she talking about a course again? And then there's the designers who are looking for support in that area, and you have to find that balance of talking to both of them or at least segmenting it out where no one feels like you're telling them the wrong thing ever.
Yes. And that's, it is a balance. And so I feel like I try to do podcast episodes every now and then that are very like, hey, this is for designers, designer focused, and also weaving in Instagram content that is. And I would say it's a big word of mouth course. So like, I've actually never run Facebook ads to Booked Out Designer. I haven't run ads for my templates in over 2 years. So it's like all the sales that have been made on this course have been through organic marketing and a lot of word of mouth marketing as well, which I'm not against Facebook ads. Honestly, we should probably do that soon. Like for the course, I think that would help things even more, but I haven't done it that way. And so I'm just kind of weaving it in naturally to make sure people know that like this is a thing. And other people do, like I get tagged all the time in Facebook groups where like someone's being like, hey, I'm looking for a course for designers. And then they're like, you should look at Elizabeth. So I have a bit of that happening too, which is helpful.
And that leads into something else I really wanted to pick your brain about, because so many people talk about creating the course, launching the course, and then they don't talk about what comes after, which is when you have all of these students that you have to continue to support. And your course is lifetime access. So when people join, they get access to future bonuses, they get access to all of the lessons. Will you talk a little bit about how you've cultivated a community where people regularly are talking about your course and telling other people to join it?
Yeah, so I treat Booked Out Designer like a membership. I refer to people in it as Booked Out Designer members. And it's not a membership though, because there's not an ongoing cost to it. It's like a one-time thing and then you're in, which it is like, there's so much of like, I can sometimes look at that. I'm like, did I do that the right way? Because what a lot of people do is you have the course and then people expire out of it. And then there's an option to like join a membership for ongoing stuff. I decided not to do it that way. And it is a higher priced course. So I think that also, I like the way I did it is how I look at it. And I like the way it functions like a membership, but isn't, I'm not asking people to just keep paying month over month. So yeah, though the access doesn't expire. We have a Facebook community, as you know, and you're so active in it. But like, generally speaking, it's a pretty active group where people are asking questions, trying to help each other. I schedule content to go out in the group using like Facebook group scheduler thing. So I'm constantly posting things where it's like, okay, here's a prompt. Here's like an encouragement. Here's something I'm learning. Here's something y'all should check out, that sort of stuff. We also have ongoing group coaching calls that people get. And so someone who joined in that beta launch can still come to a coaching call today, 2 years later. And it can kind of sound crazy when I say it, like, well, why would you do it that way? But I think it works. And I like, what's the term, under promising, over delivering. Like a lot of people don't even realize they can keep coming to the calls, which I've tried to like make that clear more recently. But one of the Sarah in Booked Out Designer the other day was like, wait, I can still come to the calls. And I was like, yes, like, sorry, I wasn't communicating that. And something too, if people listening are like, how do you make that work? What I do is someone who's new, they get priority. So that I'm looking at who's on the call and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, I can tell these people are new, these, or there's so many people who are older students on here. I'll say like, hey, we're going to, so if you've never been to a coaching call before and you've never asked a question, like you get to go first. And so it all works well that way. Yeah. So that's the like ongoing side of it. And I think it's like I'm selling more than a course. I'm selling like access, support, community, and I like that. It's like, I mean, again, I said I wanted to create the thing I wish I'd had when I started my design business. So I feel like I've been able to do that through offering those different things.
And that community piece is huge because the Facebook group for Booked Out Designer is very active. It's the reason I'm more active in it is because I'm in other Facebook groups and it's like a ghost town. And if you ever ask anything, no one responds. Where in Booked Out Designer, people are pretty great. Even if it's a question not necessarily related to design, like sometimes people will ask, how are you doing your bookkeeping? Or like, I have to pay my taxes and I don't know where to start. And then people can kind of point you in the right direction, which is really cool. And you're really good about, like, sometimes you'll just record a random Loom video to answer someone's question, which is always really cool to see. Or you'll be like, oh, this is exactly what I'm doing. And there are other courses that do that, but I think a lot of people don't focus on, like, you still have to be a teacher sometimes. And it's a balance, like you said, like you can pre-schedule stuff, but then there's also times where you have to show up and like meet people where they're at. And that's so powerful when people see, hey, Elizabeth is in there all the time responding to stuff and like not hiding anything. And since I've been in the course, which I think is almost 2 years, like you've added new lessons and new templates, and that's always super fun and exciting.
Yeah, which is something like you can't, the courses aren't one and done. They do have to be updated, and which is hard sometimes as a course creator. But yeah, and I think like going back to what we were saying earlier about like surveying your people, like you can ask and see like, is the community something that feels excited about joining this? Is like coaching from you something that feels exciting? And if it is, asking yourself like, how can I integrate this? And with the coaching calls specifically, there's so many ways to like navigate how you're going to do those. And Booked Out Designer's been around, I guess like 2 years now, a little over 2 years. And I've done seasons where it's like every month there's a call with me. I've had a mindset coach in the course for about a whole year where she was doing coaching calls every other month on like life coaching, business owner mindset stuff. So I've done a few different things. I've done times where I'm like, hey, 3 months right now, like I'm on maternity leave, we're not doing any calls. So it's like, you have to like find the flow there. But when I do like whatever's on the sales page right now saying like, this is what you're getting, that's what you're getting. So you can even change it up of like right now there's, you know, 3 months of group coaching, or it's every other month, or you're getting this one call. You can kind of adjust it to meet your needs. And so I feel like it can kind of be overwhelming to think about, oh my gosh, I'm committing to like coaching every month for life. It's like, it doesn't have to be that way for you to include group coaching.
Yeah. And that's a really good point, because sometimes people ask me, wait, when you say lifetime access to things, does that mean until I die? And I'm like, no, you will have a terms and condition that says the lifetime of the program, which most people, it's like years and years. And I know very few people who have actually retired a course, but it's just funny to imagine us as like old grannies in business and like still doing this course. But I think it's powerful to give yourself permission. Like, you can change, and that's good for you as a course creator, because sometimes there might be things like burning you out, or like you said, you take a maternity leave and you need to not have to do a monthly coaching call. Mm-hmm. And then there's things students will need as well, which people might ask questions and you didn't even realize that they needed support with something until someone asked about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any final advice for someone who is sitting on their course idea? They aren't sure if they should do this. Maybe they have some notes about like, ooh, maybe I should do it, but they're feeling the imposter syndrome and they haven't taken any action yet.
Yeah. So consider beta launching. Another thing I would give advice on that we haven't even talked about, that I sometimes forget I did, but invite people to do a one-on-one call with you where you are going to pick their brain about what they want in a course. So I called these my course calls. I did like about 10 of them prior to making Booked Out Designer. And I just did like a, hey, like call on Instagram, like, hey, if you're a designer, you're interested in learning from me, I'd love to like interview you basically. And I recorded those calls, and that gave me like both some great motivation and more insight from like verbally hearing people talk about what they needed. As far as if you're like, maybe you're like, okay, I've already started in the course, I'm stuck because I just like can't make time for it, or like can't find the motivation. It's a lot of work. Like making a course is not a simple feat, no matter how big it is. Sometimes even smaller courses can feel harder in a sense because you're having to say no to more things to keep it concise. But I would say to create a rhythm and ritual for making the course. So for me, during my time making Booked Out Designer, I was not focusing on it every single day of the week because I did have like, I had a podcast I was doing. I have a template shop. Like I had other things going on. I was like literally had so many appointments for being pregnant. So I got all kinds of other things I was committed to. But I was basically, whenever I was on a day where I'm like, okay, I'm working on the course, I had one particular coffee shop I was going to that was really close to my house. I was ordering a latte I was going to enjoy, sitting in the same seat, listening to the same sound, and I would basically outline one or two lessons sitting at the coffee shop, and then I would go home and record them. And that's something too to think about, like how do you want to do the course creation process. Some people are like, I'm going to outline the whole thing, I'm going to make slides for the whole thing, and then I'm going to record the whole thing. And I think that can work better on shorter courses. But for me, I took it like one module at a time, where I would basically outline the module in its entirety and then record it all in its entirety after I did the slides. So kind of figuring that out can be helpful, because if you're just kind of moving around haphazardly and don't really have a system, it is going to take longer. But I think like for me, leaving my home office, leaving my house and be like, okay, all I'm doing while I'm at this coffee shop is working this course. I'm not even going to open my email, not doing anything else. And then when I leave, I'm leaving with this thing done, really helped.
Yeah, and that's really good advice, because pretty much anyone I've ever seen create a course, and I have this problem sometimes in my own business, it's really hard to find time to work on the new thing, because you have all of the other stuff that's currently making you money, and like you're not ready to pause it or stop it. So I love that idea of creating a ritual and like leaving the house and just giving yourself permission of like, this is the time to work on it.
Yeah, which some things do have to like pause, like when you're making a course. Like for me, I did not make a single new template during that time. For my podcast content, I think I relied more heavily on interviews, because I was just like, I'm like beat on content. Like I'm giving all my content ideas to this course right now. And having that deadline from the beta launch helped me. Like I had mapped out on my calendar, like here's how many lessons I need to do a week in order to get there by that date and deliver it by that date. And so that was helpful too, of like, I had my own, the deadline set by that, and try, that's something too, we didn't even say, but like whatever deadline you're putting on your beta launch sales page that you're going to have it by, make it like a month later than when you actually plan to have it. Cause you never know what's going to happen, and you don't want to be in a position where you've told people a date and you can't get it, which obviously it can all be okay. It's a course, we're not performing like heart surgery, but like you want to be able to like feel good about the date and like, again, over deliver, under promise, all of that. So whatever date I put, I got it to them earlier, but I think I was only like 2 weeks ahead. Like it took me a little longer than I was anticipating.
And that's a really good point too, because there's a lot when making a course, and like you're relying on technology sometimes, and like something might go down. So giving yourself some sort of grace period is really helpful. Also, you might like get sick and lose your voice while you're recording a course. Like there's so much that can come up.
I had so many voice problems. Actually, while I was making the course, worked with a voice coach because I was going hoarse making the videos. And she told me I talk from the wrong place in my body, and that's why I lose my voice when I talk too much. And we tried to work on it and never really resolved anything. But I did meet with her twice because that was happening, of like, okay, I'm talking so much, which does put you behind if you're like, okay, I can't really talk well, so I'm obviously not going to record this if I'm feeling like my voice isn't there. Yeah, it's a real thing.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, because I remember you talking about working with a voice coach, and at the time I was like, that's cool. And then now I've been batching a lot of podcast episodes, and I've had several training webinars I've been on. And literally last week I was like, that's what Elizabeth was talking about. Because I like lose my voice and I like get really out of breath and it's embarrassing. So I also have to learn how you like talk for hours on end without losing your voice or getting really hoarse or like starting to cough.
I know, I still don't have the answer. Like, interviews are easier than solo things, which is, again, why something like you're saying, like a webinar or like recording a course is more taxing. But yeah, I still don't have the answer. Like, I'm probably going to be hoarse after this, honestly. So it's tough.
Will you tell everyone where they can find you and learn about Booked Out Designer and then also your website templates?
Yeah, so my website is at elizabethmccravey.com and my Instagram is also at elizabethmccravey. My podcast is called the Breakthrough Brand Podcast, and I actually have a few episodes. There's at least two where I like literally walked through the decision to beta launch. I did one recapping like a total launch debrief on that beta launch too, if anyone's curious about that. And I've done a few episodes around like course creation stuff and how to like be more efficient, get it done faster, things like that. So definitely check that out. And then I know you have like a discount code for templates, and also you're an affiliate of Booked Out Designer, so you should totally put those links in the show notes and join through Mara's info. But yeah, the templates and Booked Out Designer are both on my website.
Yes, and I will definitely link to all of them. And then those podcast episodes, because I've listened to all of those podcast episodes because I love like launching and when people talk about this stuff, especially in a way where they talk about some of the hard stuff too, not just like, I launched and I made a bunch of money and my life was perfect forever. Yeah. Sometimes people, like, they don't talk about, it's a lot of work to make a course. So I'll make sure to link to all of that in the show notes for everyone.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
I was just going to say thank you, because it's so much fun to like get to pick someone's brain about their course and like what it actually took to create it and how long. Because usually we just see the final product and the sales page and it's like, oh, it was easy for them. Why isn't it easy for me? And a lot of people get imposter syndrome, or they have a course idea for a year and then they're like, well, I was too late because I never did it. And it's so far from the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this was fun, and I feel like I could talk about course stuff all day, and I never do, so this was really fun.
Yeah, well, thank you so, so much.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, thank you for listening to the podcast today. That just flew by, didn't it? If you enjoyed the episode, then I want to invite you to check out my online course and coaching program for designers, Booked Out Designer. In this program, I teach you how to build a successful, in-demand, booked-out business as a designer. You'll learn everything from the exact experience I take clients through to things like figuring out your niche, mastering discovery calls, pricing your services for profit, attorney-drafted contract templates, my exact social media strategies to book clients, and so much more. You even get to watch recordings of me in meetings with actual clients. We take things you're learning on this podcast and so many things I've actually never even covered on the show and dive way deep into them. In addition to the amazing course with 9 modules of teaching and over 90 lessons, you also get group coaching calls with me and access to an exclusive Facebook community of designers just like you. To get info and join the course, head to elizabethmccravey.com/BOD, short for Booked Out Designer. That's elizabethmccravey.com/BOD. Designers all over the world and in all different niches are having insane wins from this program, and I would love to help you do the same. That's Booked Out Designer, found at elizabethmccravey.com/BOD. Okay, that's it. Can't wait to connect with you again next week. Bye, friend.